This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day tafsir, a daily summarized tafsir of the Quran in Ramadan. I'm very happy that you're here today. Today we have the 13th juz of the Quran, the 13th sipara of the Quran. And in this 13th juz of the Quran, we will be covering three surahs today, inshallah. We will be covering Surah Yusuf, named after the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Then Surah Ar-Ra'd. Ra'ad is thunder, so it will be talking about, it references the idea of thunder, not to be confused with the basketball team. And it will also, the last surah that we'll cover today is Surah Ibrahim, named after our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. And all these three surahs are have each of them offer something very unique and very powerful. We will spend a little bit extra time on Surah Yusuf, because Surah Yusuf is one of the most fascinating surahs of Quran. Allah says about Surah Yusuf that it is نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ, that we are going to tell you the best of all historical narratives, the best of all stories. And that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And it's a really beautiful surah and a really beautiful story that is completely filled with lessons and food for thought. So we will try our best to do justice to it today, inshallah. Surah Yusuf, the surah before Surah Yusuf is surah number 12. Surah number 11 is Surah Hud, that we covered yesterday. Surah Hud, if you remember, was talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And our part of our faith is to believe in His plan and to never give up on the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is part and parcel of what it means to be a believer, to always have, always trust Allah and never to despair about the difficulties of life. And that was demonstrated by Allah through examples and through a historical narratives of the prophets. Today, similarly, we have one story of a prophet in Surah Yusuf. Surah Hud had many prophets. Surah Yusuf has only one prophet. And that is because his story is almost the same theme applies to it. Never give up hope. Always understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for you. Okay, that is the main theme of this surah. Understand that Allah has a plan for you. Don't ever think that Allah has abandoned you. And that is a beautiful message of the Quran. That is a message the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah needed to convey to the Prophet of Allah ﷺ. And that's a message that we all need, a reminder of on a very frequent basis, because it's very easy for us to forget in the ups and downs of life that Allah has a plan for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, like He says, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. Allah has full authority. He's fully dominant. So He is in full control. He knows exactly what He's doing. So our job is to show restraint and express patience in the face of the ups and downs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through. Knowing that this is exactly what He did to all of His prophets. In fact, the most difficult of ups and downs went, the people who went through the most difficult ups and downs of life were the prophets of Allah. So if they, the most beloved of all people, would go through so many trials, so many difficulties, it only follows logically that the rest of us will go through it as well. And thus there shouldn't ever be the thought that Allah doesn't love me or He doesn't care for me. No, because Allah loves and cares for the believers, He loved and cared for His messengers, And the fact that he put them through trials does not negate his love and care for them. Likewise, when we are put through a difficulty or a series of difficulties, does not mean that Allah does not love or care for us. And that is the powerful message of these surahs. Surah Yusuf, as you can see, I have like a list of items of what happens here. But I think this would be better talked about if we look at the structure of the surah in this like a little diagram that I just made today. Okay, the surah starts off by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses from the clear book. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. We have sent the Qur'an in Arabic so that you may understand. Another meaning of this Qur'anan Arabiyan is the linguistic meaning of the word Qur'an is something that's recited. So we have sent it, we have revealed the Qur'an as something that's recited, and that recitation helps you understand. The purpose of reciting the Qur'an is to understand it. Another meaning of the word Arabiyan is not just that its language is Arabic, which is, I think, obvious, but also Arabi in old, its etymology means something that is very clear and not verbose. It's clear and not verbose, as opposed to Ajam, which would be unclear and terse. So the Quran is clear. It is. It clarifies. It's not verbose. It conveys the message powerfully as is possible. And that is another meaning of this Quran and Arabian. Then Allah talks about that we're going to tell you the best of all narratives in this Quran. All the stories are amazing, but this one particularly stands out. This surah, Surah Yusuf, was revealed in one shot, and the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam is revealed in one place, unlike any other story of any other prophet. His name is mentioned in other places, but his story is only mentioned here. It starts ayah number 4 with Yusuf alayhi salam's dream. He sees the dream. He says, Ya abati, inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaban wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum lisajidin. My father, I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrate themselves before me. Okay, this was his dream. Now, this is Yusuf alayhi salam as a little boy. This dream is a true dream from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would become a prophet, a great prophet, and he would become he would be chosen by Allah from among his brothers to be the carrier of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm sharing the whole screen. You can see the screen, right? Are you able to see the diagram here? Right? This little diagram? Yes or no, people? Now you can. All right. Can you see the screen of the Quran now? Yes? Okay, perfect. Yes, I want us to like see both things, right? So I'll actually zoom in a little bit more to the translation so that people can read it a little bit better. Okay, now let's continue. Yusuf alayhi salam sees the dream. His dad says, don't tell this dream to your siblings, to your brothers, because they may plot evil against you. And that is how Satan causes disruption among people, among family, putting in these grudges between people. Now, the next thing that happens is the brothers plot against Yusuf alayhi salam. Ayah number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They said to each other, the brothers, surely Joseph and his brother Benjamin are dearer to our father than ourselves, although we are a band. Truly, our father is clearly mistaken. There were 12 sons of Yaqub. So you have Ibrahim alayhi salam, his son Ishaq, his son Yaqub, and Yaqub had 12 sons. Yaqub's 12 sons are the 12 tribes of Bani Israel of the Jews, and the 12 sons of the other name of Yaqub is Israel. So the kids of Israel, the kids of Yaqub, are the heads of Bani Israel, the Jewish community. So there's 12 of them. Okay, 10 of them from one wife and 2 from the other. Yusuf and Binyamin, Benjamin from the other wife. So the other 10, the older or the elder 10, feel, even without knowing of Yusuf alayhi salam's dream, they feel a sense of jealousy. And they say that's because, like, Yusuf, our dad loves Yusuf more than us. Okay? They plot. And they plot something extremely vile. Therefore, let us put Joseph to death. Let's kill him or cast him away to some far-off land so that our father's attention should only turn to us. And you can thereafter become a righteous people. This is an assumption that your father's attention will turn to you. As you'll see, the father's attention did not turn to them. As Yusuf left them, it actually remained on Yusuf alayhi salam. The plot was then altered by one of them who said, don't kill Joseph, but if you have to do something, cast him into the bottom of a well, and then some travelers will pick him up. Okay, meaning, let's put him in a situation where someone will basically kidnap him and take him away far, far from us, never to be seen again. So at least he's not dead, he's alive, but also he's not around us, so our purpose is achieved. Okay, now this happened, and they convinced their father that, oh father, let us, take Yusuf. We'll go out for a picnic. We'll go play and enjoy ourselves, and he'll be with us. You know, we're all brothers, and we will look after him. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And Yaqub al-Islam was, unsure. He felt a little bit uneasy. And he said that, he explained that I'm not easy, I'm not comfortable with this. I would grieve me if you took away with him. And I fear that lest the wolf should devour him while you are off your guard. Okay, Yaqub al-Islam is trying to maybe misdirect their request. But it didn't work. It didn't really work. They had a rebuttal for his misdirection. They said, well, we're 10 and there's a wolf. And if a wolf can fight all 10 of us off, then we are definitely losers. Okay. In this process, he ended up providing them with the excuse that they tossed him, they cast him into the well, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured Yusuf, don't worry, we'll take care of you. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. You shall one day tell them of this deed of theirs, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, when they don't realize who you are. Right away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted Yusuf alayhi salam, saying, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, and you will come out victorious in this. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. Allah has a plan always. Always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan, particularly when something happens that we don't control. Yusuf al-Islam didn't control this. He couldn't do anything about it. In the face of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred him saying, don't worry, you'll be fine. And that is by extension to all of us. That when something happens out of our control, we didn't do anything to deserve it, don't worry, trust us. Trust Allah. There is a plan. There is something that Allah has in store for you that is better. Just have to be patient and you have to trust Him. That is what happens. They come back to their father crying, putting on a show that's Oscar worthy. Aisha and Yabkun. They say, hey dad, we were actually, racing and whatnot. And a wolf ate Joseph, right? What a coincidence, right? A wolf devoured him. And then they brought his shirt, saying, like, look, here's what happened. The wolf ate him, and here's blood on his shirt. Of course, as the Quran says, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. This was false blood. This was false blood. Meaning, they were fabricating evidence. Yaqub alayhi salam recognized it. Okay, logically speaking, he would recognize if the wolf ate, like, Yusuf, did the wolf take off his shirt and then eat him while the shirt is intact and then the blood is on the shirt? Otherwise, generally speaking, the wolf would eat the person with the shirt, right? So the shirt would be ripped. Yaqub al-Islam recognized it, but he didn't interrogate them because he knew they were not telling the truth. And then there is no point trying to interrogate somebody when you don't have any leverage. He's won their 10. Right? He doesn't have any leverage. So he actually can't, he's out of options. But he knows they're not telling the truth. That's what he knows for a fact. And he can put that together by circumstantial evidence. He says something very fascinating. He says, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He rubbishes their story. He says, your souls have tempted you to do something evil. I don't believe what you're saying. And what you have done is evil. And that is the temptation of your soul, the grudges that you've harbored, the jealousy that you were, you know, building up and resentment you were building up, that has forced you to do something evil. And that is a reality, brothers and sisters. If we leave bad thoughts, bad emotions linger for too long in our minds and in our hearts, they will be a temptation for us to do something evil. They will eventually become it. What should be done is, like the dua of the Quran teaches us, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. At the end it says, وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. This dua is supposed to remove enmity from us and ask Allah's protection from those who have enmity and jealousy towards us. There's a dua of the Prophet that he would make, that اللهم ما أصبح بي من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك فمنك وحدك لا شريك لك فلك الحمد ولك الشكر. Oh Allah, whatever blessing that I have or anybody else in the world has and is enjoying, that is because of you. You gave this blessing to me and you gave that blessing to them. فلك الحمد ولك الشكر. All praise and all thanks is for you. This is a beautiful dua, a thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reminder to us that if someone is enjoying a blessing, that is actually because Allah has chosen to give them that blessing. And we shouldn't begrudge them for that blessing, because that really is begrudging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly. So subhanAllah here, this is a very important principle. Your souls have tempted you to do something evil. Let us not corrupt our souls to the point where our souls will tempt us to do something or say something evil. A very important lesson. But he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. For it is best to be patient. There is no other option, right? He has no other option. He has no leverage in this negotiation. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So now it's time to wait and let Allah run this sequence of actions through its course. Now just wait for Allah to bring His justice, either in this world or in the next. Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah is alone sought for help for what you have described, for to help me bear the loss that you speak of. Okay, now Yusuf alayhi salam is going through he's rescued from the well by a group of travelers, but Allah al-musta'an, he is sold into slavery. They sold him into slavery for a paltry sum, a few pieces of silver. So little did they value him, right? They didn't recognize the man that they had with him was going to be the next great prophet of Bani Israel and the chosen one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. They didn't recognize him. They thought he was just some random boy, sold him for a few cheap dollars, and off they went. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Yusuf alayhi salam. He wasn't sold into slavery, into labor. He was sold into slavery and bought by somebody who wanted to adopt him as a son. The person who bought him from Egypt said, lodge him honorably. He said this to his wife. He may prove of benefit to us, or we may even adopt him as our son. So subhanAllah here, Allah highlights that look, Yusuf alayhi salam went through a lot of difficulty and trial and betrayal, but in the short term, Allah provided relief to him that he was sold as a slave, but as a slave that was like noble, a noble slave. A slave that would be like treated like a child of the house. Not a slave that's a laborer in the fields or something. So this is a very beautiful, this is a small tangent, a very beautiful tangent that Allah goes on when He says, thus we established Joseph in the land so that we may teach him the true meaning of events. He could become educated as he lives in the house of the minister of Egypt. And God has power over all things. However, most people don't know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what He's doing.
He's got a plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. But most people don't recognize this. Most people don't know this. You know, you may have heard people saying, God works in mysterious ways. We reject that. We don't accept that. Because that implies somehow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what he's doing. No. We say, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Allah has power over all things. Ghalib is actually someone who's dominant. We say Allah is dominant over everything. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's fully in charge, fully in control. We are, you know, from our vantage point, our view is obviously very restricted and small. So we have to understand that we don't see the full picture. And thus we trust the one who knows the full picture. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam grew and became into a fine young man. And when he grew up into a fine young man, the wife of the minister attempted to seduce him. Allahu Akbar. He thinks he's out in the, he's saved from like difficulties, but now unexpected difficulties are falling his way. He is now seduced by وَرَاوَدَتُهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ, the one in whose house he was living. He had no place to go. He lived in her house. Where could he run away, right? And she seduced him by bolting the doors, shut everything, and asking him to engage in intimacy. And he replied by saying, Ma'adallah, for God forbid, truly your husband is my master and he has treated me honorably. Wrongdoers shall never prosper. A beautiful, and I'm reminding her that your husband is the one who has treated me honorably. And also reminder that, he's a really good man. Don't do this to him. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ, the wrongdoers will never prosper. So it's a beautiful way of reminding himself or providing his reasoning, but also reminding the person who is perhaps losing their rationality because of their desires. But this woman was not to be reasoned with. She wanted to, she wanted at him. She hurled towards him. He started to run away. And as he's running away, she's pulling and tugging at his shirt from the back. And she rips her shirt from the back. And subhanAllah, at the door that she had bolted, she finds her husband. Now, she does a 180 and says, well, this person was trying to violate me. What should be the punishment of the person who tries to violate your wife? Right? Take care of him. Punish him. Yusuf alayhi salam defends him. He's like, I didn't do this. He was the one who tried to seduce me. But then Allah sends relief again. Shahida shahidun min ahliha. One of her household testified, if his shirt is torn from the front, then she is speaking the truth and he's lying. Meaning if he was pursuing her and then she's defending herself, she would have ripped the shirt from the front. But if it's the other way, she's pursuing him and he is trying to run away, his shirt will be ripped from the back. And then when they saw that his shirt was ripped from the back, they realized Yusuf is telling the truth and the wife of the Aziz, the minister, is telling the lie. And at that point, this is a very difficult thing. What do you do? This is a noble woman. This is somebody who, has a high standing in society. And Yusuf alayhi salam, despite his, all the good things about him, is still a slave, right? What do you do here? It's a very tough situation. So the man tries to brush it under the carpet, under the rug here. He's like, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. Joseph, overlook this. Don't speak about this with anybody. Just don't talk about it. Don't mention it. And he says to his wife, you got to fix yourself. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكِ إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Okay? But of course, word gets out. And word got out that the nobleman's wife, the wife of the Aziz, tried to seduce her slave. Like, what is wrong with her? Okay? Now, she heard of this and obviously wanted to, show why she, or wanted to talk about or explain herself without having to say anything. So she invites all these people who are gossiping about her and introduces them to Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they saw him, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ, they were amazed, they were awestruck by his beauty. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, and they cut their hands because they had fruit and knives in front of them, and they cut their hands exclaiming, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, God preserve us, this is no human being, this is an angel. So here you are, the minister attempts to seduce his wife. And then the ladies also attempt to seduce him or, try to, they get introduced to who he is. Now, at this point, they realize the people of the ministers of Egypt are like, well, this is going to be trouble, right? Yusuf, by the way, alayhi salam, is tempted, and he is now almost being compelled by this lady, right? Now, however, if he does not do as I bid him, he shall be put in prison and be humiliated. It's almost like he's being forced to have an affair at gunpoint. Okay? Now, Yusuf alayhi salam says, oh Allah, prison is better for me. I prefer to be in prison than doing what these women are inviting me to do. I would rather go to prison than have an affair with somebody. That is what Yusuf alayhi salam is saying. And that tells you about a person of principle, of honor, of chastity, of virtue. That is what it means. That you would rather prefer that you are innocent but imprisoned, instead of being having an affair with somebody, violating someone else's wife, violating the sanctity of marriage, indulging in something that is one of the major sins of Islam. Right? It crosses a line, a very grave line. It crosses. So Yusuf alayhi salam is like, I'd rather have no freedom, but have no have a clean conscience and have no sins, than be in this sinful compromise situation morally and be free. Okay, he's like, no, I'd rather just take prison. Subhanallah. And that is a man of virtue and principle, and that is the role model for us. Our values and our principles are, they should matter to us more than anything. Okay, and that's what Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us here. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, and the people recognize, the ministers and the powerful people are like, he's so attractive that our wives are losing their minds over him. Okay, so let us just put him in prison. There is no other way to solve this problem. Okay, so they put him into prison. Allahu Akbar. Now he's in prison. Okay, ayah number 35. Now, I'll come back to what happens in prison in a little bit. Okay, but what happens is, ayah number 43, the king sees a dream. The king of Egypt sees a dream that there are seven fat cows, which seven lean ones were eating, and also seven green ears of corn, and seven others which were dry. Tell me the meaning of this vision, my nobles, if you can interpret the visions. The people say, well, we don't understand what this dream means. But one of the people in the king's court used to be a prisoner. And he used to be in prison with Yusuf alayhi salam. And he asked Yusuf alayhi salam the interpretation of a dream that he saw. And Yusuf alayhi salam correctly told him the interpretation of the dream. And that's when he remembered that, hey, I know somebody who can tell you what this dream means. Yusuf, you truthful person, tell us the meaning of this dream. Yusuf alayhi salam tells them, the meaning of this dream is, you shall sow for seven consecutive years as usual, but leave in the ear the harvest that you reap, except for a little that you may eat. Because after that, you will have 7 years of great hardship and famine, which will consume all but a little of what you stored. And then after that will be the year of abundant rain. And then when people will celebrate by pressing wine and oil. Okay, so the king's dream, and the king's dream is interpreted. All right. Now the king is very impressed by that. He's like, bring this person to me. I would like him to be with me. He's now going to be released. The king has given the royal order to release Yusuf alayhi salam. But Yusuf alayhi salam, before he gets his freedom, he wants his name cleared. And this is, again, a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man of virtue. And that is what Hadeen teaches us, right? That we are people of the truth. We are people of al-haq. And the truth is what matters to us. So the easy thing is just, okay, I'll go out now. I get my freedom. And alhamdulillah, I can do what I need to do. And I'll be, maybe I'll have a job now because the king is impressed with me and I have some money. But your name is still, there's a question mark over what happened. He's like, I want my name cleared, because that truth has to be brought to the forefront. And that kind of justice in life is not always available, right? But Yusuf alayhi salam had the leverage to make it available. And he used it not for some material gains. He used that leverage to bring out the truth, to clear his name, because the truth matters to us more than anything else. Here again, he brings out, he's like, I'm not coming out until my name is cleared. Okay, go back to your master and ask him about the women who cut their hands. My Lord knows well their guile. The confession of the ladies. The ladies confess, God forbid, we know no evil of him. Nothing. He didn't do anything evil. That's what we know about Yusuf. Okay. And then the confession of the wife of the minister, the lady who was behind this whole shenanigans. She's like, the truth has come to light and it was I who tried to seduce him. And he is surely an honest man. And from this, the nobleman should know that I did not betray him in his absence and that God does not guide the plotting of the treacherous. So now the wife of the Aziz confesses, and Yusuf wanted to make sure that his master knew, the person who bought him and honored him as a child, that I never betrayed you. You should know that his name is clear. Everything is out in the open. Now, subhanAllah, he is made put in special service. And that special service is that he is going to be اجعلني على خزائن الأرض, in charge of the storehouses of the land. And that was his task. He became in charge. Think of him like as a minister of agriculture, right? Or he is the one who is managing the rations for the people, preparing for the famine that's about to come in the next 7 years. He has that responsibility. Now, subhanAllah, Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah again goes on the tangent. Because Joseph to be established in a position of authority in the land, he could dwell therein wherever he pleased. We bestow our mercy on whoever we please, and we do not allow the reward of the righteous to go to waste. Now I'm going to skip a little bit to go to the brothers learned their lesson. The brothers who had left Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, they arrived in the court of Yusuf, not knowing, he recognized them, but they did not know, recognize him. Right, they arrive at his court, and they're just thinking they're dealing with like a minister, a higher up, a prince, not knowing that that's their own brother. All right, Yusuf al-Islam knew it. He says something interesting. He says, unprompted, bring me your brother on your father's side. Okay, he's like, I want to see your other brother. Okay, that should have been a hint for them, but they didn't take the hint. Went back to their father. They said to their father, hey, we got all this, we've been denied trading for wheat until we take our brother Benjamin bin Yamin and take him to see the king. Now Yaqub alayhi salam immediately rejects that. He's like, how can I trust you with him? Should I trust him with you just as I trusted his brother to you once? Again, your reputation is built on your actions and your words. If your reputation is rotten, people will assume rotten of you, right? So he's like, how can I trust you guys? You guys didn't really keep your word the first time. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam had returned whatever they had bartered, Yusuf alayhi salam returned that to them sneakily. So when they went back home, they're like, hey, we got all this food for free. We're going to get even more. We can double our supply. Just send our brother with us, dad. And that convinced, that pushed Yaqub alayhi salam over to send him, bin Yamin, with his brothers. And then now when he entered, but they all went back to Yusuf alayhi salam's court, he pulled aside his brother and said, I am your brother Yusuf. Inni ana akhuk. So don't feel distressed about whatever they've been doing. He's like, I got something up my sleeve. Don't worry about what's going to happen. You're going to be safe with me. What's the trick that he planned? He's like, he framed his brother for stealing the drinking cup of the king. And as he framed them, the brothers were like, Majidna li nufsida fil ard. We don't come here to cause trouble. We're not thieves or anything. So they found, of course, the brother's bag to have the drinking cup of the king. So Yusuf alayhi salam now was able to keep his brother with him. And this was a plan that he devised to keep his brother with him, you know, to be reunited with some of his family, all right? And his plan was to try to get all of his family, his father and mother, to also join. But this was the first step of his plan. Now, subhanAllah, as he did that, the brothers slandered him. Not knowing, they just slandered the king that, or the man, the prince, the minister who they are slandering is the person that they are referring to. Okay? If he is a thief, قَالُوا إِن سَرَقَ قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. If he is a thief, a brother of his had also committed theft before him. Clear slander, clear lie. They're talking about Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, that grudge didn't leave him, even though they tossed the poor boy into a well, but the grudge against him remained in their heart. And that's oftentimes the thing about revenge. It doesn't really, it doesn't really cool the fire. Okay. Yusuf alayhi salam didn't say anything, even though he could have. He just kept his peace and he said, "You guys are in a really bad situation." They tried to say, you know what, how about you keep one of us, but send him back. His father is really old. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, no, of course not. Ma'adha Allah, that will be injustice. How can we do injustice here? All right. Now, the brothers are like, really difficult, in a really tight spot. They're like, what do we do? What do we tell our dad? He's not going to believe us if we say, Benjamin or Binyamin has stolen something. He's going to assume that we did something. Right? And that's what again happens. Your reputation, right? If your person lies and that's their reputation of lying, even when they tell the truth, no one's going to believe them. Right? Like the boy who cried wolf, the famous example. If your reputation is built by your actions and your truthful words, and that defines you. And that unfortunately defined these people, and that's why they were in that bad situation. They went back to their father saying, hey, father, you can ask the people that we went with. We didn't do anything. He did it. He was caught red-handed. But Yaqub al-Assam doesn't believe a word of what they're saying. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. The exact same phrase. You have yourselves contrived a story. Your souls have made it easy for you to say this falsehood. Okay, فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He says again, I'll be patient. فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'll have this beautiful patience. I'll just keep waiting until Allah brings about these events to their conclusion. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. I said, maybe Allah will bring them all back to me. Okay? And again, this shows you, Yaqub al-Islam, even though he was hurt, even though he didn't know what was going to happen, he still had hope that Allah will reunite his family one day. Okay, he had that hope. And that's the point. Never lose hope. Always know Allah has a plan. But what happens is grief is tough. You know, and one trauma or grief can open up the wounds of something that was previously like hurting a person. And that's what happened to him. Right? That's what like the scholars of Tafsir explain. That when he said, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ, the grief of losing Binyamin reminded him of the grief of losing Yusuf. And that made him, like that was like a real tough thing. And the effect of that grief and that sadness was physical. Like it affected him physically until he lost his eyesight. وَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And he was filled with sorrow. كَظِيمٌ also means he was suppressing, meaning he had suppressed his sorrow of Yusuf for so long that this kind of blew the lid off it. And that overwhelmed his physical being, his physical self. And subhanAllah, now he lost his eyesight. And that's something that we have to understand about these emotions and mental health, is that there is a physical effect to it on a person. And that cannot be ignored, that cannot be just brushed away. And we learn that from this. Now, Yusuf Yaqub alayhi salam is saying, I never complained to you guys. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. This is why he said this in a private thing, but he's physically showing the effects of his grief. But he never complained about his grief. He only complained to Allah, meaning I only make dua to Allah that he rids me of this grief. And I make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, I'm in pain. Please provide me relief. Like this is what the Prophet would do as well. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو ضَعْفَ قُوَّتِي إِلَيْكَ وَقِلَّةَ حِيلِي وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, I complain to you about my lack of power and my weakness. We can complain to Allah about this. But if we start to say, and that complaining to Allah is us asking Allah for a solution. It's us saying, oh Allah, we're weak and you're strong. Give us a solution. But when we complain to people, it turns into ingratitude, right? And that's what Yaqub al-Islam is teaching us. But Yaqub al-Islam is also a man filled with hope because he trusts Allah. He says to his sons, oh sons, go and seek the news of Joseph and his brother and never despair of God's mercy, because none despair of God's mercy except those who deny the truth. The ones who don't understand Allah, who don't recognize Allah, they're the ones who despair of Allah's mercy. The one who knows Allah and recognizes Him and believes in Him can never despair of Allah's mercy. So he, as you can see, is, while suffering, still, he knows Allah has a plan. While he's going through so many difficulties, he knows Allah's got a plan and he's hopeful in that. And that for us is the example. Now, the brothers plot. The brothers finally learned their lesson. You know, they go back to Yusuf. Yusuf said, are you aware of what you did to Joseph and his brother in ignorance? They said, are you indeed Joseph? Qala ana Yusuf. He said, yes, I am Joseph. And this is my brother. Allah has been gracious to us. The truth is that God does not waste the reward of those who do good and who are righteous and steadfast. They said, by Allah, Allah has certainly raised you above us, and we have been guilty. And look at this. These are actually, in this story, this is not a true evil person. These people, you know, the wife of Aziz was not an evil person. She admitted her mistake. The brothers of Yusuf, while doing horrible things, were not like Fir'aun, like an evil person, evil personified. They actually accepted their mistake and apologized for their mistake to Yusuf. That's how people are. You know, we're a mixture of good and bad, right? And here, the brothers apologize for their bad. Yeah, Yusuf al-Islam shows how magnanimous he is. He says, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No blame shall fall on you today. I have moved past this. I have forgiven you. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. May Allah forgive you as well. And He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Subhanallah. Now, finally, he says, take my shirt and put this on the face of my father. His eyesight will come back. And when the eyesight came back, Yaqub said to his sons that I told you I knew from Allah something you didn't know. I knew Allah had a plan. The brothers apologized to the father as well. Ya abana astaghfir lana dhunubana inna kunna khati'een. We were truly wrong. It shows you, by the way, apologizing for mistakes is important. That's what is required. That's the least you can do, right? That's the least a person can do. And it's something that we should have the humility in doing. And this is, the brothers of Yusuf are demonstrating that quality for us here. Yaqub alayhi salam says, I will certainly ask my Lord to forgive you, because He is forgiving and merciful. And again, the people who are true, like role models, Yaqub and Yusuf, the prophets, they always show magnanimous, their magnanimous nature. They could have held grudges, but they forgave. The Prophet ﷺ could have punished and destroyed Mecca, but he forgave everybody. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said the same words, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. This is all water under the bridge. I have nothing. You are أَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَى. You are free to go. This is the quality of the righteous. Ibrahim alayhi salam's father said, I'm going to kill you. Ibrahim said, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُ. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. May Allah give you peace. I will ask my Lord to forgive you. Subhanallah. He is that is the quality that we hope to emulate, because it rises above our egos. It rises above our carnal desires to seek revenge. May Allah make us people like that. I mean, now finally, the dream of Yusuf is interpreted. He says, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. He raised his, when they were there, they all came, the families reunited. He said to his parents, أُدْخُلُوا مِصْرَ. Welcome to Egypt in safety. If God wills, He raises them in, on the throne, and they fall before Him in prostration. This was a prostration of honoring somebody. This was something that was allowed in the previous law of Bani Israel. But in our law of the Quran, this is not allowed. We only make sajda to Allah, to no human being whatsoever. And then Yusuf said, this is the interpretation of my dream, O father. My Lord has made it come true. That the sun and the moon, his dad and his mother, and the 11 stars are his brothers. They are all reunited and they're all prostrating to him. And he is now the carrier of the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the legacy of Yaqub, the head of Bani Israel is Yusuf. And that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, he makes a beautiful dua. Look at the attitude of gratitude. He says, my Lord has made it come true. He was kind to me that when he let me out of prison. Not that my Lord did me wrong by separating me from my family or putting me into prison. No, my Lord was kind to me when he let me out of prison and brought you together, reunited us. This is the attitude of gratitude. We don't look at the bad things that have happened to us and say, oh Allah, you did this to me. We look at the good and we say, oh Allah, you did this good to me. Alhamdulillah. That is the believer. That is who a believer is. Subhanallah. And the believer also doesn't throw other believers under the bus. After Satan had brought about discourse between me and my brethren. After Satan had planted these seeds of discourse, he again doesn't blame his brothers, even though he had all right to. But he doesn't. And that is, again, this is a small statement that shows the incredible mindset of what Yusuf alayhi salam was and the believer who he's supposed to be, right? Thankful to Allah, knowing that Allah has a plan, and then the bad of life is part of Allah's plan that brings out good in this life and in the next life, okay? And then he makes a beautiful dua that, my Lord, you have given me power and taught me the interpretation of dreams. The creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my patron in this world and the hereafter. Make me die in submission to you and admit me among the righteous. Subhanallah, this is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, a couple of interesting things. Number one, as you can see, there is this beautiful pattern to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. As you can see, it's like a mirror image. Yusuf's dream, Yusuf, the plot of the brothers against Yusuf, minister's attempt, the attempt by the Egyptian ladies, Yusuf's imprisonment, the king's dream. Now, in the mirror image, the king's dream is interpreted. Yusuf's imprisonment, Yusuf's reliefs, Yusuf's release. The ladies, they confess. The wife of Aziz, she confesses. The brothers' plot is exposed. They learn their lesson. They apologize for their mistakes, right? They apologize for their mistakes. Yusuf's dream, interpreted. Right, this beautiful structure, this beautiful ring structure, this symmetrical structure of storytelling is a fascinating, fascinating way of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and it is a beautiful story. Also, the story has another very amazing up and down, nature to it. I can only think of like a sine or a cosine wave, but maybe if those of you who don't. can relate to that. Here is the idea, right? Difficulty, ease. Oscillating constantly between difficulty and ease is Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at that. Separated from his family, but then rescued by the caravan. All right. Rescued by the caravan, but sold into slavery. Right? Let's do maybe like an up and down. After difficulty, there is ease. Okay? So, difficulty is separated from his family. Ease, rescued by the caravan. Difficulty, sold into slavery. The ease, adopted as a noble slave, not as like a slave that works the field. Difficulty, seduced by the minister's wife. She was supposed to be like a mother figure, but she now is seducing him. And accused of being seduced of the one who is instigating this affair. But then, the ease... His name is cleared by the relative of the wife, right? وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا, right? Now that's an amazing thing. Somebody had the justice in her family to clear his name, okay? Then difficulty, thrown in prison for no crime. Didn't do anything, but thrown in prison to keep the ladies out of trouble, okay? Now in prison, the ease that he gets is he actually gives da'wah. We skipped that part in the reading, but you can read that transition yourself. He gives da'wah to people. And then as he's giving da'wah to people, he interprets the dream of the people who are asking him this question, and that paves the way for him to be freed and cleared and honored as minister. But then the brothers came back, and all that happened, they slandered him, right? They said, إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. But despite that slander, he's reunited with his brother. Now, that being reunited with his brother caused so much grief to his dad that he lost his eyesight because of that recurring grief. But that finally pushed the family into to becoming reunited, and finally they're all together. Allahu Akbar. What a amazing story. How the difficulty and ease constantly he is oscillating between the two. And that is the lesson for us. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ Allah has a plan always, right? We have to trust His plan. We should never think Allah has abandoned us. Also, there is the imagery of the shirt. The shirt was brought. It had false blood. And that was like a minor relief because Yaqub realized Yusuf is alive. All right? The torn shirt saved Yusuf alayhi salam. The shirt that the wife tore from the back, it saved him, because otherwise it was his word against hers, and his word was always going to lose. But the shirt saved his life. And then the shirt of Yusuf, again, restoring vision to Yaqub, telling him not only is Yusuf alive, but he is alive and well. And that was a major relief. So subhanAllah, beautiful story, full of imagery, full of these like amazing structures, these parallels that, you know, how between oscillating between ease and difficulty, a truly incredible story. May Allah give us the understanding of it. Allah says about the concluding two verses that when the messengers lost all hopes and thought that they had been told lies, i.e. the people had denied them completely, at that point our help came to them and we saved whoever we please, but our punishment will not be averted from the guilty. Meaning the messengers went through a lot of difficulty, and they at the very last, like the breaking point, when they reached breaking point, at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them his relief. Meaning Allah brings relief, you know, if not immediate, eventual, and He does that with His messengers. So if He does that with His messengers, the most beloved of His creation, you know, it's even more applicable to us. We go through less difficulties, our relief comes quicker, we just have to be patient. And that's the lesson we learn from the messengers of Allah, all of them, and particularly here from Yusuf alayhi salam. In these stories, the Quran stories, there's a lesson for the people of understanding. This Quran is no invented tale, but a confirmation of the previous scripture and a detailed explanation of all things, as well as a guidance and mercy to the true believers. We ask Allah to make us of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Surah Ar-Ra'd, the next surah, which we don't have a lot of time for, but we will try our best to cover as much as we can, inshallah. Surah Ar-Ra'd, surah number 13, is a surah that talks about recognizing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Recognize Allah. Recognize Allah through His signs. Look at the signs of Allah that He details here. Okay, Allah is the one who sent this book in truth. Right? وَالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ It is sent to your Lord from the truth, or in truth. But most people don't believe. Most people don't believe that it is the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them examples from what they cannot deny. Things that they see but cannot deny. Allahu alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amadin tarawnaha. It is He who has raised the skies with no visible support and then established Himself on the throne. He has regulated the sun and the moon so that each will pursue its course for an appointed time. He ordains things, all things, makes plain His revelation so that you may be certain of your meeting with your Lord. Again, how Allah has created the perfect system. But the perfection of His system shows the glory and majesty of Him. But the system, the creation, when He speaks about the creation, He speaks about resurrection. He says, كُلُّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى This universe, the solar system, the magnificent creation of Allah that we see, that is there for an appointed time. The world will end on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that crystal clear. This world is not supposed to last for an eternity. It is meant to last only until the day of judgment. And that is always a theme of the Quran. Creation and resurrection always coming together. He talks about how the earth is an amazing sign of Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضِ It is he who has spread out the earth, right? The earth, you can just travel and travel on it, and it is a beautiful, you know, spread out land placed upon it mountains and rivers and fruits of all kind in male and female pairs. He drew the veil of the night over the day, how the earth, you know, rotates around this axis, and how that causes the night and the day to alternate. This beautiful system allows us to establish our lives. All of this, there are signs for people. يتفكرون. You have to think about it. You have to think about these things. يتفكرون. Then he talks about the plants that grow on the earth, right? The plants that grow on the earth, he says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ قِطَعٌ مُتَجَاوِرَاتٌ Diverse tracts adjoining one another, vineyards and cornfields and groves of palm, the single palms, that dates that grow like individually, and clustered dates. Their fruits, يُسْقَى بِمَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ All nourished by one water. Right? SubhanAllah. One source of nourishment, the same water, the soil. It's the same nourishment, or the water that nourishes them is the same. Yet, there are different types of fruit that grow on the earth. And not just in like different countries, but adjacent tracts. And that is such a beautiful sign of Allah. وَنُفَضِّلُ بَعْضَهَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الْأُكُلِ You make the taste of some excel the others. In this are signs for those who understand. Again, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ To think about it. How amazing is the Creator that He nourishes all by the same thing. Ma in wahid. Takes care of all by the same thing. And that causes, and then there's diversity in his creation, in the fruits, in the plants, in the people. Right? And that is a sign of his majesty, a sign of his glory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights these things. He highlights the duality of thunder. I'm going to kind of go through a little bit quickly here with the surah. He highlights the duality of thunder. He says, "هو الذي يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا." It is He who shows you lightning, inspiring fear and hope, and He gathers up the heavy clouds. And the thunder glorifies Him. ويسبحه الرعد بحمده, and with His praise, and so does the angels who are in awe of Him. Subhanallah. So this is a demonstration, the thunder, the lightning is a demonstration of Allah's glory, His might, and it is something that instills fear in us, but also hope that there's going to be rain, right? When you hear lightning and thunder, or hear thunder and see lightning, you have hope that's going to be rain. And that is something that the fear and hope of Allah is, you know, we experience that in the physical creation of Allah, right? And that's how our relationship with Allah should be. We are hopeful in His mercy, fearful of His punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives plenty of examples in the surah so you can recognize who Allah is. Recognize Allah through the He gives an example about the example of the righteous. You can recognize Allah through the righteous people that He has created on the earth. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَ لَهُمْ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ these people, sorry, ayah number 20, Allah describes them. That you recognize Allah through His signs. You also recognize Allah through the people who believe in His signs. How are these people? They are the ones who are ulul albab, people of clear rationale. They are able to connect the signs of Allah that are outside to the signs of Allah inside the book. They are the ones who keep their promises. وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ They don't break their promises. They don't break their word. They are the ones who keep ties of family. They fear their Lord. And they are afraid of being taken to task on the Day of Judgment. They are patient and steadfast in seeking the favor of their Lord. They pray regularly and spend secretly and openly out of what Allah has provided them. And ward off evil with good. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ You know, when evil comes, they ward it off with good. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقُبَ الدَّارِ There shall be the final abode. And the best example of this we just saw, Yusuf alayhi salam. يَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ Faced so many sad, bad things and always warded that off with good words and kind attitudes. And that is seeing that person like that who believes in Allah should make us recognize who Allah is. Recognize Allah through the power of the Quran. And of course, it concludes with the Prophet ﷺ being described as a true prophet, and describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing his role, saying that your job, O Prophet, is whether we show you part of what we have promised them or cause you to pass away before that. Innama alayka al-balagh. Your mission is to give the warning, and our job is to do the reckoning. Our job is to hold people accountable. Subhanallah. The Prophet's job is not to convert. The Prophet's job is not to change people's minds. The Prophet's job is to convey the message in the best possible way. And that's the job of every Prophet, and that's the job of every single person who follows the Prophet ﷺ. Our job is to convey the message in the best possible way. Our job is not to change people's minds or win a convert. This is Allah's responsibility. He is the one who changes hearts, and He is the one who holds people accountable. So this is Surah Al-Ra'd, a very beautiful surah. I encourage you to read the translation of it. If I can get a couple of minutes to spend with you in Surah Ibrahim, I would really appreciate that, because that will allow us to kind of catch up a little bit here. I told you Surah Yusuf is so powerful, we're going to spend some time on it. So please, if you can give me a few more minutes, that'll be wonderful. Surah Ibrahim, the theme of it is the attitude of gratitude. How Ibrahim alayhi salam and the prophets of Allah had this attitude of gratitude. We saw that in the story of Yusuf. He had gratitude to Allah even after going through immense betrayal and immense difficulty. That never changed. And that is like the goal. Like, that is, if a person can attain that, they have made it in life. They have made it in this life, and they have made it in the next life. Allah starts this surah by talking about how the Quran and the revelation is to bring people, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to bring people out of darkness to the light. Darkness of disbelief to the light of iman. Darkness of ingratitude, complaining, always being fickle, to the light of gratitude, to the light of patience, to the light of being calm, collected, forgiving people. That is the light that the Quran and Sunnah are supposed to bring us in, the path of the mighty, the praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a reason for disbelief. This is an important reason. Why do people reject Allah? يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. They prefer and they love more the life of this world than the next. Right? That is a central reason. Not everybody rejects faith because they're not convinced of the tenets or whatnot. Oftentimes, the engine that drives disbelief is the love of the world, the love of not wanting to change, the love of not giving up stuff that you enjoy, right? The pleasures of the world, that often is something that stops a person. And that is what Allah says, for woe to those who, because of that, don't change their ways. And Allah says also, like, every messenger was sent speaking the language of the people that he was sent in. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, so he can make the message clear to them. And this is a very important thing. The messenger made the message clear in the language of the people and in a way that they could understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples. I'll give you two examples of people of who showed the attitude of gratitude. Example number one is Musa alayhi salam. Preaching gratitude to his people after, look at this. He's saying to them, remember people, Allah took you out, delivered you from the Pharaoh. Huh? He delivered you from the Pharaoh who were treating you cruelly, killing your sons, sparing your daughters. And that was a great trial from your Lord. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ. Remember though, if you are grateful, I will surely bestow more favors upon you. But if you are ungrateful, فَإِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, my punishment is severe for sure. I.e. Musa alayhi salam is telling his people that even when you have suffered immensely and you are in a difficult state, your attitude should be to thank Allah by remembering the good that He's done to you. This is perhaps when his people are in the desert and they are tired and they want to get to like their final destination. But he's reminding them, don't be ungrateful to Allah, be thankful. Because when you are thankful, Allah will give you even more. And if you are ungrateful, then Allah says, إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, like Musa said to his people, Allah quotes him, you, if you were to be ungrateful, all of everybody together, then Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, Allah is self-sufficient and praiseworthy. He doesn't need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the first, you know, example of the Prophet. The stories in between and the conversation in between oscillate between Allah giving examples of the righteous, the wicked, the example of Jannah, paradise, and Jahannam, and using parables to show people who are grateful and people who are ungrateful, and the worst case of ingratitude being disbelief. He describes some great favors that he does to people, and he says, look, you know, look at the favors that Allah does. It is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who sends down water from the sky, with which he brings forth fruits for your sustenance. He has made the ships subservient to you so that you may sail across the sea by his command, and has subjected the rivers to you. All of this is put in service for you. The rivers, buoyancy that allows you to sail from you know, place to place, earning, trading, growing, prospering. All of that Allah has done for you. He has put the moon and the sun at your service, both being steadfast, pursuing their course, so you can predict how they're going to be. You can plan things. All of this is done so that you can prosper and enjoy life. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهِ, has given you all that you've asked. And if then, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ, if you try to reckon God's favors, if you try to count the favors of Allah, list them out, لَا تُحْصُوهَا, you won't be able to do so. You will inevitably miss many, many favors, because there are so many. There are so many. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ, truly man is very unjust and ungrateful. And to contrast the nature of human beings, Allah presents Ibrahim alayhi salam as the role model. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا, my Lord, make this a city of peace and help me and my children keep away from worshipping idols. My Lord, these idols have led many men astray, and anyone who follows me is with me. But if anyone who turns against me, you are surely forgiving and merciful. My Lord, I have settled some of my offspring in an uncultivable valley near your sacred house, my Lord, so they may establish their prayer. So make people's hearts inclined towards them. Provide them with fruits so that they may be grateful. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, O Allah, give them, make this a peaceful city. Okay, give them peace. Allow them to stay away from shirk, so they worship you alone. Allow them to establish the prayer, and then so that allow the people to be around them and people to love them, give them sustenance, all of this so that they can be grateful to you, Allah. Right? He's making a beautiful dua. Allah, take care of all of their needs. Take care of their social needs. Take care of their material needs. Take care of their spiritual needs, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this so that my progeny can be grateful to you. It's such an incredible dua. Ibrahim al-Islam is not just saying, oh Allah, just make sure that their spiritual stuff is taken care of, and then, you know, everything else, they can be patient. No, no. He's like, oh Allah, take care of all of the needs of my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, so that all of them can be grateful to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. An amazing dua. He says to Allah, Allah, you have knowledge of all that we hide and that we revealed. Nothing is in the heaven or on earth is hidden from you. Look at the gratitude of Ibrahim. He says, oh Allah, thanks to you, all praises to you, who has bestowed upon me, despite my old age, Ismail and Ishaq. Not that, oh Allah, how come I didn't have a child when I was young? Oh Allah, I did everything for you and you never gave me a child. That's the attitude of ingratitude. That is the attitude of the person who doesn't understand Allah, doesn't recognize Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the role model. He says, oh Allah, all thanks to you that you gave me children. Even though, despite my old age, you gave me kids, and that is a great favor from you. You heard my dua, you answered my dua. The attitude of gratitude. That is what our father Ibrahim al-Islam taught us. That's what our Prophet al-Islam taught us. That's what Musa al-Islam taught us. That is what the story of Yusuf al-Islam teaches us. That is a central theme of the surah. It concludes with this dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. My Lord, make me grant that I keep up my prayer. And my kids as well, our Lord, accept our prayers. رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لِي. My Lord, forgive me. Our Lord, forgive me. And my parents and all the believers on the Day of Reckoning. A very beautiful dua. I have 40 and 41. I encourage you to make it for you, for your family, and for all the believers. Jazakumullah khairan for sticking around here till the end. This was quite a bit, alhamdulillah, that we covered today. A juz and a quarter in reality. But alhamdulillah, we were able to get through it. I encourage you to look through the remaining of the translation and some of the notes that is there. And then tomorrow, inshallah, we'll start with the 14th juz. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.